Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels. You can listen to us wherever you get your audio. Wanted to break down the tape and look back at what was a much better outing for the Commanders. Still a loss, a seventh in a row. But this one, they took the Broncos to the brink and lose in overtime by a point going for the two-point conversion. I'm still stunned that anybody thinks that they should have kicked the extra point and kept the game going there. It's outrageous to me. The most obvious go-for situation ever there, in my opinion, Logan.
Yeah, and again, like, I'm not super up on the rules, but basically if they make that, they win the game, right? There's no, like...
Oh, it's over, yeah.
Yeah. So giving that as the parameter, like, if you kick a field goal, if you kick the extra point there, then the Denver Broncos, who just went down and scored almost instantly in overtime, gets the ball back with about 3 minutes left, and they just need a field goal to win the game. So... to me, like, they're going to go do that probably. So, like, I'm not really banking on the defense to hold down the fort there necessarily. So, to me, there's no decision. There's no debate. Like, go for two. Especially, like, this is the other thing, too. I think in overtime, there's this kind of perception amongst NFL teams that the better team usually wins. And so, if assuming that, Dan Quinn's a smart guy, the staff's a smart group of people, that they understand that Denver's the better roster, like, when you have an opportunity to win it on one play, like, you probably should do it, right? And so I think that everything just leans in that direction. You called the game, like the way you did the coin toss was to have the second opportunity at it, so you knew what you needed to win the game. So yeah, to me, there's no conversation really. Like, that's the right decision.
Yeah, Denver's 10-2. You're 3-9. And by the way, you know, taking everything else contextually out of it, at 3-8, like, let's end this thing one way or the other and let's go home. You know, I'm not talking about, like, from the standpoint of a youth sports game, like, we have dinner tonight. I'm just saying from the standpoint of, we've already run the most plays we've run in a game since 2016. If I'm Dan Quinn, with 85 snaps, we don't need to run any more plays. You know, we don't need to get anybody hurt. We need to either win this thing or lose this thing at 3-8, but it's happening right here and right now. So I just thought it was very, very obvious. One other overtime question before we get into the tape that I've been thinking about and wanted to get your opinion on. So Washington did what I think you should do, which is if you win the toss, you should get the ball second, kick off, and then you know what you need. So if you need a field goal, it can inform your decisions. The real benefit is you get four downs, though. So if you need a touchdown, instead of playing three-down football, I'm four-down football, and it's just an analytical advantage. But I actually started seeing in the last week, maybe two, and I've read a little bit about this, that some teams, like some of the numbers that they dive into, are starting to take the ball first because they feel like if both teams get the same thing, there's only time for three possessions, essentially.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of played out in a world where Washington kicks the extra point to tie. What's your thought on that? I talked to Jay Gruden about this on my show on 106.7 The Fan yesterday. He comes from the Arena Football League background where they did overtimes like this forever. He said it's like completely 100% Washington did the right thing. You get the ball second and you have the four downs, and that's a way bigger deal than anything else. Are you with him, or do you kind of understand this idea now where teams are starting to push back a little bit and maybe like the idea of going first and third?
No, I think, I think it was the Super Bowl where Kyle Shanahan said that they were playing for the third possession. And I think that there is merit and value to that. And I think when you look at the numbers, there is a slight tick in terms of winning percentage because of the third possession there. But again, like, I do think that there is merit, especially in this situation, right? Like, you know, in an overtime, like in the playoffs, or I think it's the Super Bowl, like, they're going to play out the full period, right? There's no like extra time. There's no sudden death, basically. Here, because it's sudden death, and whoever scores the most, if both teams have possessed the football and you have more points at the end of that thing, the game's over. So here, I think it's a little bit different mathematically, at least my perception. You have to run the numbers to figure it out. But like, even though you do get the third possession, I think the fact that like Washington presenting at second gets the fourth down advantage, understands they need to go for two, that to me seems like it would tip the scales in your favor, especially if you're calling game by going 4-2. So that's what I would say there. Like, obviously, like in the Super Bowl, that third possession is going to be really valuable because like the game doesn't stop when you go for two. They still get to go for a field goal. So I think that's where like the math might be different in regular season versus postseason.
By the way, look at us on Take Command breaking down the intricacies of overtime after back-to-back overtime games.
Look at us.
The Commanders in Madrid and then consecutively the next week at home, Miami and Denver playing OT football. All right, let's get into a breakdown. We'll start with the offense here. I wanted to start with your take on Terry McLaurin because I thought he was excellent. Welcome back to number 17. He ended up being matched up most of the night with Pat Surtain, who traveled, and he covered him on 21 snaps in week 13, 16 in man coverage. He was targeted on 8 of those 16 snaps, so they were not shying away from throwing it at the best corner in the league. And obviously, Terry started the game on a pitch count. You end up running 85 plays, you're going to get plenty of work. But 3 catches for 30 yards in those situations, 2 of them on tight window throws with less than a yard of separation. McLaurin ended up having a huge fourth quarter catch, and a few of them really. But he had a fourth quarter catch beyond 10 air yards, according to Next Gen Stats. Second such reception against Surtain all season. I mean, this guy is really special. And yet in the end, McLaurin put up a strong 7-catch, 96-yard, 1-touchdown performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Terry, like just what he did for the offense, and it's a lot of the same analysis that we had yesterday or, you know, after the game. Like, I think just the confidence in the quarterback and what it lets the offense be and how they play stuff is really, it comes to the forefront in these moments, right? So, like, there's that slant, that tight window slant that they throw where, you know, they kind of run four strong. It's the first catch of the game on Pat Surtain. Like, his ability to kind of get square, put his outside foot in the ground, break across his face, catch that football, run physically through the safety's face in Hufanga. Like, that's big time stuff. And then I think the other one that really jumped out to me was like it was in the low red. There's that dig completion to him where it's like strike right down the middle. Like, I just haven't seen Mariota confident enough really to make those types of throws at this point of the season, you know what I'm saying? Up to this season, because you're dealing with, you know, a bunch of guys you don't have a ton of confidence in. And so I think that's the thing with Terry, is he just brings a little bit more ability to win in one-on-one situations. He draws a matchup that is more indicative of a number one, which helps Debo, which helps Zach, which helps, you know, Treylon Burks find these matchups versus the number two corner, the nickel or the safety, whoever it is. And I just think like that's the value that he brings, the confidence the quarterback has, the matchup it gives everybody else. And quite frankly, man, I was blown away with his conditioning. For him to come out and play the game that way after being banged up, like, kudos and credit to him. Like, you know, like, I know Chad Englehart does a great job as, you know, with the strength staff and all that stuff, but this is a tough deal, man. Like, you haven't played football in a long time. So all those things come to the forefront.
Well, and can I just say, too, to that point, supposedly he was banking on or thinking about 25, 30 snaps, and he got 45 again because they ran 85 snaps. So when you're out there for a certain percentage, like normally you're running 55, 60 plays, it was going to be in the 25 range. He ends up around 45. So, like, I was talking to someone yesterday, just a fan of the team, and they were asking, they're like, how's Terry not out on the field on the third and fourth and goal at the end of the game? They had to burn the timeout to get him back out there. And I'm like, do you know how much more than full the gas? Like, he had already kind of blown his load. You know, he had shot the – he had unloaded the magazine already and spent all of his money. So that's – you know, a big spot there where, yeah, you get him back out on the field. He runs that slant, which is, you know, money in the bank for the most part. I saw a stat, by the way, 507 snaps dating back to week 13 of last year since Surtain had given up a touchdown before that. Now, that's not even a fair thing to pin on him because it's just like, you know, a little pick and a slant, whatever. But the point is, like, it can be that easy to get one assigned to you in the way that they do this data. And it had been over 500 snaps since it happened. So, yeah, they in big moments, they were not afraid to target Terry McLaurin against the best corner in the NFL, maybe, which I think tells you a lot.
Yeah, and again, a lot of his, like, big explosive plays were, you know, off of play action. You know, you mentioned that 13 personnel, like, under center, play action, come back to the sideline. There's another one where he's running, like, a stop kind of, like, near the hash where, like, those are versus zone. But again, like, the confidence, the timing that Mariota seems to have banked with him, it comes to the forefront in these moments, right? And again, like, there's another one where the pocket kind of breaks down and it's he's running the through on dagger, which is, you know, everyone talks about dagger. Deep through, dig on the outside. And the through is actually really, like, not part of the progression. It is, like, on paper, that's the number one read. But it's the number one read to get the quarterback's eyes there so that the number two will open up when he throws the football there. And the pocket's breaking down. He kind of steps up, Mariota, and then he delivers a strike to the through. And it just, to me, it just shows, like, a trust and a confidence in that player that he's going to make it happen for you when you need it. And so, again, like, the confidence of the offense. And then I think the maybe the most important element outside of, like, the confidence is a critical, but what it just does for every other playmaker in the room is really the thing that brings the most value. You know, like, Zach Ertz ends up with 10 catches, partially one of the reasons, maybe the main reason, is how they called the game for the tight end. But also in these third down, second and long situations, Zach's drawing Hufanga, right? Like, he's drawing the nickel. Like, these are matchups that are more suitable to him as opposed to drawing, you know, better coverage players.
Which I want to get to, because Ertz after the game basically thanked Terry McLaurin for coming back and having him, you know, get these looks that allowed him to go 10 for 100, his best game of the season. Specific to Terry, though, we've talked about this on this show a bunch. I know I've talked about it on my daily show on The Fan even more. But trying to think about non-Jaden Daniels division, because he's the answer. Who is the other guy that has been missed the most via all of these injuries? And, you know, I've kind of gone with different players at different points. Oh, Dietrich Wise, because he can't set the edge anymore in the run game. Or, you know, Austin Eckler, because he's been invaluable in this check down, someone would say, or whatever. But I think the answer is McLaurin, and it's not close. After a game like this, just seeing the impact, the ramifications, the ripple effects in the offense, and the things he can do that nobody else can do. Like, Debo's a good weapon and a good player. When they were both healthy at the very beginning of the year, the offense was going more through Debo than through Terry, right? I think some of that had to do with him not having been around camp, preseason, whatever. But my point is, even Debo is not a traditional line him up out wide and go make a catch guy. He had the big 38-yarder down to the one-yard line. That's been a rarity this year. So it's twofold for me, Logan, with Terry. It is what he gives you that no one else on the roster can. Because we could quibble over if he's top 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever. But he is one of the best in the National Football League. Contested catches, making, you know, grabs with people around him. Toe tapping on the sideline, the high difficulty type things. He does that at an elite level. And then just what he does for everybody else. And I think you really saw that throughout this football game, as you're pointing out, in specifics with Ertz.
Yeah, and I think also with Debo, too, like, there's a first and 10 in the third, maybe fourth quarter. They're all kind of bleeding together now where Debo's running, like, a speed out. I think, I don't know if you remember this completion, great throw by Mariota getting the ball out there. But he's running that route on the free safety, right? It's a kind of a zero pressure look. And to me, like, that's a matchup that Debo can and should comfortably win, and he does, right? And I'd say, like, that's the value of Terry McLaurin, is you just bump people down a notch in terms of, like, who they're going to see from a matchup standpoint. And it doesn't always play out like this every single week, but this week it did, right? They said, we're going to take our best corner, Pat Surtain the second, and we're going to put him on Terry. They had a battle, and I think, you know, watching Pat Surtain in person, man, he's as advertised. Like, he is an excellent football player. But you get that, and then you have Riley Moss covering Treylon Burks. That allows Treylon Burks to get that touchdown in a one-on-one situation in the end zone there with that great one-handed catch. You get the Debo kind of on the out. You get the Debo on the go on the sideline. That's him drawing Riley Moss. Like, think about if he's running that route on Patrick Surtain. That's probably not happening for him, right? Because, again, like, that's just the difference in levels to the coverage players, and that's the difference in levels in receivers on this team. And like you said, I think you just articulated that really well. Like, Debo is a good football player. He's a dynamic playmaking piece. But the nuance of running routes, I think I would definitely err to Terry in terms of traditional wide receiver skill set. I think you saw that in the game on Sunday.
All right, let's talk about the offensive line. After the game, right away, in our post-game breakdown, you said you were just completely impressed and blown away by how they handled what is the best pass rushing group in the league for the Denver Broncos. The numbers come out, and they're incredible. Next Gen Stats says the Commanders hold the Broncos to an 18% pressure rate, best against them this season. In fact, it is their lowest pressure rate game since they gave up 70 points to the Dolphins in Week 3.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Of 2023, which is crazy. The Broncos were pressuring at a 41% rate over the first 12 weeks of the season, and then get pressure just 18% of the time in this game. The matchups that went really well for Washington included Laremy Tunsil, two pressures, to Nick Benito on 28 matchups, who's one of the better pass rushers in the league. Jonathan Cooper against Josh Connerly. Connerly, one pressure on 26 matchups. Now everybody will remember the hold that negates a touchdown late. But you know what? One of those plays in an 85-play day is going to happen, and it's not the end of the world. But one pressure, 26 matchups, head-to-head with Cooper is really good. And then Sam Cosmi, one pressure, 55 pass blocks against the Broncos' interior pass rushers, who were really, really good. So you can't ask for more. This was not only a impressive game for this O-line, this was a pretty elite, dominant game that you can dream on a little bit moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that gets me really encouraged. And I mentioned this on the booth review yesterday with Lennon Fletcher and Bram, And one of the things that sticks out to me is just like one of the issues with Jaden Daniels, especially early in the season, is like when he's navigating pressure, like tight pockets, and like that's not really where he wants to be. And so now all of a sudden you've got an offensive line who seems to be able to handle these kind of elite pass rushing teams. And I think the other thing too here in the context of not only Jaden Daniels development, but is Laremy Tunsil. And I look at him and like that's the value of having someone who's got 10 years of NFL experience. Like he knew watching him exactly what Nick Bedito was about. He knew exactly what he needed to do. And I will say, we talked about this on the preview show. Nick Bedito is a little bit of a one trick pony. Like it's a good trick. He can throw, you know, that 104 mile an hour fastball and he's going to throw that thing. But you saw Laremy Tunsil anticipating the snap count and getting great depth off the kick. And then it negated what was Nick Bedito's superpower, right? And I think just to be able to athletically match people like that and develop a plan, right? Understanding what that guy's going to bring is so critical. And you could just leave that guy on an island. Like they were able to, they did provide chip help. They did do certain things to help those guys out. But I was so confident when Laremy Tunsil brought. And I think the thing that was maybe most surprising was Josh Connerly. He's really struggled with people that anticipate the snap count and fire off the football the way Cooper and Bonito do. And I felt like he did a great job. But again, like the support they got from the staff, I think was super evident. They went on multiple different cadences. They brought chip help in certain situations. The play pass game was at a high level. First and second down, the quick game was alive, especially in the first half. And I just said to myself, like, that's exactly what they needed. And the other thing too is their ability to sustain drives. You could tell it fatigued those guys, Cooper, Bonito, like they didn't have the juice that they needed to be successful. So really, like, it was the guys played well, the environment around them was excellent, and I think you saw like it leads to these results that people are talking about, like, wow, all of a sudden the offensive line seems to be back, seems to be galvanized, seems to be what we're talking about this offseason. But it's great individual athletic performances, but it's also a great game plan, and all those things come together to get these grades that you're seeing.
Josh Connerly, by the way, that holding penalty in overtime that negated the touchdown of 30 yards to McLaurin, that was his first penalty in 3 weeks. So this is the second time this season that he's had only one or fewer penalties in a three-week span. He had a holding in each of the first three games of the year. He had four penalties through three games, all holding penalties. But since then, he's really cleaned it up. He had three in week seven, but since week 10, where he had two false starts, nothing in week 11, nothing in week 12, and then, week 13 here. I should say matchups, not just weeks. Obviously, they had a bye, but nothing in these last few weeks for him. So I thought that was impressive. And then while we're talking penalties, this is something I looked up during the game, so I just wanted to mention this. Remember the big story before this season when they traded for Laremy Tunsil was, like, this guy's incredible in pass pro, a little bit of like a white collar tackle, and then he's not going to be like nasty and a mauler in the run game, right? But he's going to be one of the better pass protectors in the league. And the pass protection part is certainly checked out. He's been phenomenal. But the knock was penalties. And I had some guys on from Houston to talk about, like, I think he had 18 or 19 penalties last year and a ton of false starts. He had a false start in this game. It was his first since week 6, and it was just his third all season. So, like, some of the other things, whether it's a hold or a use of the hands or, downfield or something, that the other penalties he's gotten this year, I could deal with that. The false start stuff is what kills you. He's only had three all season, and he hadn't had one in about half of the year. So I just think when that was such a big deal, I mean, I talked on my show and, daily with like three or four people from Houston that are like, oh, this guy's going to commit 15 false start penalties. He starts early every play. He hadn't done it since week 6, and this is a game where he is trying to get off early because of the speed of a rusher, to your point. And, like, there were a couple times where you're watching and you're like, did he go early? He's timing it up. Just one. I know that sounds crazy, but I just think that's a notable thing about a guy with that being a storyline coming into the year.
No, I think so, and I think that was one of the things that I don't know if you were on the show yet, but we talked about with Craig. It's like just sometimes when you get those guys – in the right environment with the right coach, sometimes just a different environment with a different coach, like that different voice or that different group of people helps them manage some of that stuff, right? Helps them manage this penalty issue. And I think you've seen it, the coach Johnson's done a great job, or whoever's done a great job making sure that he's improved in that area. And Laramie's probably taken some ownership of that as well. So, I think he's been as advertised. And we were talking about this in the post game. Like this group maybe more than anything gets me excited for the future. Like if you've got Laramie playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level, Cosme playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level, and Connor Lee ascending with Chris Paul playing solid ball and Tyler Biadasz playing solid ball. Like, this group could be one of these offensive lines that we're talking about in the top 10 next year. And again, like, I don't want to be talking about too much about 2026, but in terms of things that are good to see and things that give me a ton of optimism, like, that's got to be kind of like number one almost coming out of this game.
Did you think the intentional grounding call on Mariota was an intentional grounding?
This is the thing with this rule. Like, you know, I watch a lot of film every week and I listen to a lot of podcasts kind of talking about the NFL rules, and they have cracked down a little bit more on this in these moments, specifically in the red zone is kind of the context that I've been reading about. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you used to see that one where they'd throw the ball over a receiver's head, but it'd be like in the 10th row of the stands.
So he did that, by the way, when they were clocking the ball over Terry's head. And I thought that could absolutely be called because it was like such a obvious clock killing, nowhere near receiver throw. It went through the uprights, basically.
Yeah. Right. And so, like, I do think that they're cracking down on that a little bit more, which to me, like, I don't want to get too much into this, but it seems kind of silly. If we're trying to protect the quarterback, let's give them an opportunity to get rid of the football if they're in danger, right? We don't need to be litigating all these hits so much if the quarterback's just being smart and fastidious with the football. But that's a conversation for another day. So, again, like, was it by the letter of the law, intentional grounding? Yes. Like, if that throw had happened when I was playing, that would not have been intentional grounding, right? Because there's a receiver kind of right in line with the ball, even though it goes over his head. It's like, oh, there's a receiver in there. Like, we used to be coached. I remember Kyle Shanahan was like, if the quarterback's throwing the ball away, just sprint like hell to get in the shot of the ball. Because basically the receiver, the refs would be like, oh yeah, there's a dude right there. Even though, like, I was nowhere near the intended target. Like, it had bounced on the ground. Like, I would run and pick it up just so they'd know that I was there, kind of. And they'd be like, oh yeah, he must have been right there. So, like, there were things that people used to do. And again, like, things change, rules change. They are litigating this a little bit more aggressively. And so I think this is one of the byproducts, is something that is maybe not intentional grounding gets called intentional grounding. The one that I thought was going to get called was when they had that coverage bust down in the red zone where it looked like Traylon Burks was supposed to run the go and there's nobody in the shot. I'm like, they could have easily called that too. So that's where, like, this harder litigation of the intentional grounding rule becomes a little bit interesting, because there's that one. There's the one to Terry that he throws way over his head. And you're like, well, these are intentional. These are intentional groundings, right? By letter of the law. But that's where it gets a little bit fuzzy for me. So,
yeah, the TV ref and those guys are wrong more than they're right generally. There was like, yeah, this is going to stand here, right, as they're coming on the mic going, play overturned. You know, it's just like every single one of these guys. But he was going hard in the paint.
It shows you that it's like one of these things that is so subjective. Like, it really depends on your crew. And I remember when I was with Dan in Atlanta, he's the first coach that did this for me. He'd come in on Wednesday and be like, hey, this is the – we'd have a presentation before as a team. This is the crew. This is what they call. This is how they see this. And that was part of the meeting. And I think there is some merit to that, because every crew is a little bit different. Holding for one crew isn't holding for another crew. Intentional grounding for one crew isn't intentional grounding for another crew. So I do think there is some value to kind of that level of detail when talking about this, because it is, it's an art, not a science, when you're refereeing a football game.
That was Marcus Mariota's third intentional grounding penalty of the year, but his first since week four. He had one in week three, one in week four, and then this one. All right, he's Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. This is Take Command. Let's talk about the Washington defense and the one-point overtime loss to the Broncos next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.